Hello, and welcome to GCSE Physics Mastery, the podcast that helps you turn tricky topics into exam marks. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most practically satisfying topics in the OCR GCSE Forces module, elastic and inelastic deformation. Whether you're revising for your foundation or higher tier paper, this episode will walk you through everything you need, from the core concepts and key equations, right through to the sneaky mistakes that cost students marks every single year. So grab your revision notes, and let's get started. Section 1, Core Concepts. What is deformation? Let's start with the basics. Deformation simply means changing the shape of an object by applying a force. You've experienced this every single day, stretching a rubber band, squashing a piece of modeling clay, or compressing a spring. But here's the crucial distinction that OCR examiners love to test. Not all deformation is the same. Elastic deformation is the kind where the object springs back to its original shape and size once the force is removed. Think of a rubber band. You stretch it, let go, and it returns to exactly how it was. The key word here is reversible. When you see the word elastic in physics, always think reversible, temporary, bounces back. Inelastic deformation, on the other hand, is permanent. The object does not return to its original shape when the force is removed. Think of squashing a piece of clay or bending a paperclip. Once it's deformed, it stays deformed. The key word here is permanent. When you see inelastic, always think permanent, irreversible, stays changed. Now, in the exam, if you're asked to state the difference between elastic and inelastic deformation, you need to be precise. Don't just say elastic goes back. Say elastic deformation is reversible. The object returns to its original shape and size when the deforming force is removed. That's the kind of language that earns you the mark. Section 2. Hooke's Law, the linear relationship. Now let's talk about Hooke's Law, named after the 17th century physicist Robert Hooke. This is one of the most important relationships in this topic, and it describes how springs, and many other elastic materials, behave when a force is applied. Hooke's Law states that the force applied to a spring is directly proportional to the extension of the spring, provided the limit of proportionality is not exceeded. In equation form, that's F equals K times X, where F is the force in newtons, K is the spring constant in newtons per meter, and X is the extension in meters. Let's unpack each part. The force, F, is the load you're applying, usually in newtons. The extension, X, is not the total length of the spring. This is one of the most common mistakes I see. Extension is the new length minus the original length. So if a spring is originally 10 centimeters long and stretches to 14 centimeters, the extension is 4 centimeters, or 0.04 meters. Always convert to meters before you calculate. The spring constant, K, tells you how stiff the spring is. A high spring constant means the spring is stiff. You need a large force to produce a small extension. A low spring constant means the spring is flexible. A small force produces a large extension. The units of K are newtons per meter, written as N per M or NM to the power of negative 1. Here's a memory hook for Hooke's Law. Force equals K times extension. Remember it as FKX, or think of it as flexible, know your extension. The formula is given on the OCR formula sheet, but you absolutely need to know how to rearrange it and apply it correctly. Section 3, the force extension graph. The force extension graph is the centerpiece of this topic, and you will almost certainly be asked to interpret or draw one in your exam. Let me walk you through it carefully. When you plot force on the vertical axis and extension on the horizontal axis, you get a characteristic shape. In the early stages, when the force is small, the graph is a straight line passing through the origin. This straight line section is where Hooke's Law applies. The gradient of this straight line is equal to the spring constant K. So if you're asked to find K from a graph, you calculate the gradient, change in force divided by change in extension, using two points as far apart as possible on the straight section. At a certain point, the graph stops being a straight line and begins to curve. This critical point is called the limit of proportionality. Beyond this point, the extension is no longer proportional to the force. Hooke's Law no longer applies. You must be able to identify this point on a graph. Now here's a distinction that catches many candidates out. The limit of proportionality is not the same as the elastic limit. The limit of proportionality is specifically the point where the graph stops being linear. The elastic limit is the point beyond which the deformation becomes permanent. The spring will not return to its original shape. The elastic limit is usually slightly beyond the limit of proportionality on the graph. Both points matter, but they are different concepts. Beyond the elastic limit, you're in the territory of inelastic deformation. The spring has been permanently stretched. If you remove the force, it won't go back to its original length. Section 4, elastic potential energy. When you stretch or compress a spring within its elastic limit, you're doing work on it. That energy doesn't disappear. It's stored in the spring as elastic potential energy. This is the energy that gets released when the spring bounces back. The formula for elastic potential energy is E equals 1/2 times K times X squared, where E is the elastic potential energy in joules, K is the spring constant in newtons per meter, and X is the extension in meters. This formula is given on the OCR formula sheet, but you need to know when to use it. Crucially, this formula only applies in the linear region, that is, below the limit of proportionality. If the spring has been stretched beyond the limit of proportionality, you cannot use this formula to calculate the energy stored. There's a beautiful geometric connection here too. The elastic potential energy stored in a spring is equal to the area under the force extension graph. For the linear section, this area is a triangle, which is why the formula has the 1/2 in it. For the nonlinear section, the area is still meaningful. It represents the work done, but you can't use the 1/2 kx² formula there. Let me give you a quick example. A spring has a spring constant of 40 newtons per meter and is extended by 0.05 meters. The elastic potential energy stored is E equals 1/2 times 40 times 0.05 squared. That's 1/2 times 40 times 0.0025, which equals 0.05 joules. Always show you're working in the exam. Even if you get the final answer wrong, you can still earn method marks. Section 5, exam tips and common mistakes. Now let's talk strategy. Here are the mistakes that cost students marks every year and how to avoid them. Mistake number one, confusing extension with total length. Remember, extension equals new length minus original length. If the question gives you the total length of the spring after stretching, you must subtract the original length to find the extension. Examiners deliberately give you the total length to catch this mistake. Mistake number two, forgetting to convert centimeters to meters. The formula E equals 1/2 kx² requires X in meters. If you use centimeters, your answer will be out by a factor of 10,000. Always check your units before substituting into any formula. Mistake number three, using data from the nonlinear region to calculate K. The spring constant is the gradient of the straight line section only. If you pick two points from the curved part of the graph, your calculated K will be wrong. Always use points from the linear region and choose points that are as far apart as possible to minimize percentage error. Mistake number four, confusing the limit of proportionality with the elastic limit. Remember, limit of proportionality is about the graph. It's where the line stops being straight. Elastic limit is about the material. It's where permanent deformation begins. You can remember it this way. Proportionality is about the plot. Elastic is about the effect. For 6 mark practical questions about the spring investigation, always mention using a fiducial marker, that's a pin or a set square, to reduce parallax error when reading the ruler. Examiners specifically credit this point and many candidates miss it. Section 6, quickfire recall quiz. Right, let's test your knowledge. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1, what is the equation for Hooke's law? Pause and think. The answer is F equals K times X. Force equals spring constant times extension. Question 2. What does the gradient of the linear section of a force extension graph represent? Pause. The answer is the spring constant K in newtons per meter. Question 3. What is the difference between the limit of proportionality and the elastic limit? Pause. The limit of proportionality is where the graph stops being linear. The elastic limit is where permanent deformation begins. Question 4. A spring of natural length 8 centimeters is stretched to 11 centimeters. What is the extension in meters? Pause. The extension is 11 minus 8 equals 3 centimeters, which is 0.03 meters. Question 5. The formula E equals 1/2 kx² applies only in which region of the force extension graph? Pause. Only in the linear region, below the limit of proportionality. How did you do? If you got all 5, fantastic. You're well on your way to full marks. If you missed any, go back and reread that section of your notes. Section 7, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Today we've covered the key distinction between elastic deformation, reversible, and inelastic deformation, permanent. We've explored Hooke's law, F equals kx, and the force extension graph with its critical points, the limit of proportionality, and the elastic limit. We've calculated elastic potential energy using E equals half kx squared, and we've identified the most common exam mistakes to avoid. For your revision, make sure you can define both types of deformation in precise language, calculate the spring constant from a graph, calculate elastic potential energy with correct unit conversions, and describe the required practical with reference to reducing parallax error. Remember, every mark counts. The difference between a grade 4 and a grade 5 is often just a handful of marks, and this topic is one where careful, precise answers can make all the difference. Thank you so much for listening to GCSE Physics Mastery. Good luck with your revision, and remember, you've got this. Until next time, keep asking why, keep practicing, and keep pushing for those top marks. Goodbye.